I was like, nah, that nigga switched over to Android.
Fuck no. What? If I switched over to Android, call my mom because I'm not thinking about staying on Earth for very much longer. Call my mom. If I get a fucking Android, that's like giving up on life. You gave up on trying to connect with people. Like, you're trying to be an outcast now. I bet you everybody that's on FBI's watch has an Android. They definitely don't have... Like, Osama bin Laden didn't have an iPhone. For sure. He was like, fuck no.
You don't think Osama bin Laden had an iPhone?
Hell no, he didn't have no iPhone. That nigga used a courier, bro. He didn't even use email. Fuck no, he didn't have an iPhone.
I was about to say, I don't think he had any type of phone.
He did have a cell phone. That nigga had a Nokia. After they killed him, you know, they like went to his house, raided everything. They took his body too.
I'm sure.
Nigga, they took everything. So I say that to say what they found on his, like, you know, what's that? What's their traditional dress they wear?
I don't know.
What's that called? I don't know. I know you know.
I don't know what they wear.
Okay, anyway, you know how Muslims walk around.
I don't know what traditional stuff they wear.
Traditional dress, like, that shit's almost like a shawl. Huh?
Taliban.
Well, anyway, this nigga had, like, $5,000 sewn on the inside on, like a sewed-in, like, secret compartment. And he had a Nokia phone.
The Nokia
was in this nigga was using.
The Nokia was in a secret little compartment with $5,000.
This was like in 2012 though, when he got killed.
Oh, I know. I know when he got killed. It was a while ago.
That's insane. iPhone 6 was out then, nigga. iPhone 6 is out is insane.
Those were the burners then. He had to have a burner. It's Osama bin Laden. He can't have an iPhone. That's too easy for you to get tracked.
That's true, but that nigga was in the middle of the city, too. He was also at, like, West Point. Kill it. All right, come on. Let's start this shit.
All right. We're in it. Well, I've been recording this whole time, but that's a good intro is the when we talk about Osama bin Laden. It's so
That's random. Dope. That's dope. That's dope. I love that.
Okay. All right. We're in here. It's me, Josh Pierre. Thank you for joining and made you look.
Geronimo, a.k.a. Need More Hoes, a.k.a. Need More Clothes.
All the fits and all the clothes. That's what we're here for. All right. It's NBA Finals. Starts tomorrow.
Finally. It's about fucking time.
Boston Celtics versus Dallas Mavs. Let's get into it. G, who you got?
I have the Mavs in 6.
Mavs and 6.
With the MVP being Kyrie Irving.
Wow. I think that's more a shocker. I mean, if... You know, Kyrie might have to be MVP.
I think Kyrie is about to do his best work. He's about to have his Kobe moment. He you is going to...
His magnum
opus. He is open. Going to do shit that I don't even think he's capable. He knew he was capable of doing.
You think this is his going to be his greatest masterpiece? His magnum opus.
He is about to paint his 16 most clear and precious and rare. This is about to be his magnum opus.
I just said that.
Oh, you did? I'm sorry. I didn't even hear you. My bad.
I think for them to win, he's going to have to be that.
Yeah, that's what he's going to have to be. And I think he's going to do it.
I think he's going to have to. Luka's going to be great. I mean, the one. Okay, well, I'll give mine. We can't agree on this show. So, yeah, I'll take Boston in 6.
What do you mean we can't agree? Why can't we agree on the show? What you mean?
What?
Why can we not agree on the show? What do you mean?
I don't know. For entertainment purposes, it's just better for people to disagree on things. It's just better that way. You know, when we agree, people don't like to hear everybody disagree with each other. Come on. Doesn't make things...
Nigga, we didn't agree. We don't... we clearly don't agree with everything. After our conference calls are always, Jerron, you're going too far. So we clearly don't agree on everything, but we can agree on some shit. What's wrong with that?
Okay,
some
well,
shit is true. This is what we're not gonna do in this podcast. Is we ain't gonna be contrived. We ain't just if the shit is a fact. If it's a fact, it's a fact.
All right, fair. Okay, if that's the case, in my heart, I got Mavs in six. It's going to be a tough
season. Okay,
the only reason, and also, I don't think it goes to, also, if it goes, but if it goes to seven, I think Boston wins in seven.
I don't think Boston wins at all. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt by saying it's going to go six, and I'm trying to be realistic and consider the NBA's interest in, you know, viewership and shit, and like trying to maximize their profits. So you already know, like, if they go up 3-0, the refs are gonna put the fix in to make it interesting at least.
Well, no one comes back from 3-0. Whoever's winning 3-0.
I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying, like, you know they're gonna let them play, right? But if it looks like the Mavs are going to run away with this shit, so let's just say they play game one. And Boston's overall number one seed, right? Home court advantage, yeah?
Yep. That's why I say
okay. Let's say they get blowed out. They lose by 24. Let's just say game one, Boston lose by 24. Depending on how the first quarter of the second game goes, if it starts off as a blowout, the refs are going to take charge of that fucking game. Because they're not going to let this shit... They're going to make this whole interesting.
I definitely think Mavs are going to have to jump out the gate. Like, in order for them to win, the first game is going to tell me a lot about this, going to set the tone of the series, because I really feel like that Mavs has to split at Boston, and the better chance for them to split would be game one. And I need, like, they got to come out the gate very aggressive. Because if they go down,
I think they already are. Well, there was a stat that ESPN put up the other day that Kyrie has never won after playing at Boston. He's never won at Boston after playing at Boston. He's like he's like 0-11.
That's interesting. I think he's gonna. But to our point, I think he's gonna be going off every game, and I also think he can't wait till the second half to get going against Boston because they have so many weapons. He's going to have to
be aggressive. I can't hear nothing you're saying.
Can you hear me?
Please stop. What?
I said he's going to have to be aggressive all four quarters. He can't wait till the second half to get going like he usually has been doing these playoffs. He has to go all four quarters because Boston has too many weapons. They have too many options that can score. He and obviously Mavs are backcourt dominant. So he's going to have to be going all four quarters. Like, very aggressive.
I agree. I think he is going to have to go all four quarters.
You got any predictions on storylines? Any storylines? You know, game within the game? Shit that, like...
This is Porzingis' first time back from being at Boston. Yeah. I mean, being at the Mavs, playing the Mavs. And then this is Kyrie's first time, like.
Yeah.
So that's going to be any storylines.
Any other random stuff that might happen in the finals that could happen, that potentially could happen?
I'm trying to think of who else.
Like, I don't know, actually, either.
I think Porzingis
coming back will probably be the biggest story.
Yeah. Other than Kyrie being back in Boston, yeah, Porzingis is the only other maybe side story that would be interesting. Nothing about the coach. I mean, where I think this is really going to be determined is, like, coaching style. And, they're not fucking with Jason Kidd. He's a really good coach. When he plays with people who understand the way he wants to run his offense, the way, like, he understands his... And he understands his players, too. He don't try to put his players in a system that don't work for them, for their strengths. I think a lot of coaches like aren't aware of that for some reason.
Jason Kidd
Like
is one
your,
of
you know what I mean? Your offense should kind of cater around like what your personnel is at the time. You shouldn't try to fit personnel into, you know what I'm saying? That's what good coaching is.
Jason Kidd shits on
He's a
Mandula.
great
What's
coach. You see the adjustments he made about like running their off, like they used to run their offense on the wings, and then he put it to now they only run it at the top of the key now because you can't blitz on a pick and roll from the top of the key.
the key? Yeah.
And he's that's such a point guard adjustment. Like he just switched the positioning of the action of the play, and it still works. Like that's such a point guard ass thing to do.
Yeah, well, he said he coaches like as a point guard, not as a coach.
Which is fucking genius, dude.
And obviously, if you have
Because
two
now
like
you're putting
rim,
yourself on the floor. It's
yeah.
like, and very few coaches do that shit.
Well, that's why he fits with this team because he has two point guards as his two main players.
And he's playing as if he's them, too. Like, he's not playing as if he's Jason Kidd. He's like putting himself in Kyrie Irving. He's like sizing Kyrie Irving's game up and understanding, like, okay, this is what makes him make him feel productive, and it also gets things going for the team. You know what I'm saying? It's just smart, bro. He's just smart. Just
Yeah,
coaches a good in a good way.
coaching is definitely gonna go the Mavs side.
Hell yeah.
Definitely. Manzulo's okay.
He's all right,
But
but he's more like a system guy too. Like his shit
yeah,
is basic. Pick and roll to the
he's a
wing, then everybody ISOs. It's like, all right, cool. But then he has a lot of weapons though. There's like a lot of people who could do that and then score. Then there's other people who can make minor adjustments when it's like when their man cheats a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like they
Yeah,
cool.
well,
They can make a backdoor, like just smart basketball plays.
his options are unlimited.
Yeah. It's like a Princeton offense with like two niggas that's like can just, all right, ISO time, get the fuck out the way.
Yeah, he's unlimited when it's options for offensive scoring.
Yeah, so
But
it's different. It's just different because he got the Mavs be playing defense too. He got Kyrie playing defense. I don't understand that. I don't know how he got him to commit like that.
I think that was a Kyrie decision. I think that
Yeah,
was a
maybe.
decision
Because I
that he
ain't
was like,
never seen Kyrie Irving play defense like he's playing defense now. Ever.
yeah, no,
This nigga's
he
like
was
really
like,
trying to make effort to like cut people off and like make people take bad shots and shit. Like he's really committed. I'm like, damn. I ain't seen this side of Kyrie Irving before.
which is what defense is about. It's about effort, and he's just putting up the effort. And I think it's just about his maturity. You've seen a lot of maturity come out of this year, and I think that's where it's coming from is not where it's coming from, but that's been part of the growth in his maturity is playing defense.
I think
It's
he's
been
working
great.
smarter, not harder, too, because I think he understands if he puts the effort in to limit the offense's opportunities, it does give him more opportunities to work. Because you got to understand, like, both of them demand the ball a lot. So it's like you gotta speed the tempo up because if you go on like half, if you make it into a half court ISO kind of offense with like no tempo to it, you limit your opportunities for them for either one of them to score. Because Kyrie doesn't mind scoring in the fucking open floor, you know?
Oh yeah, and Luka's been playing some D. He's not amazing D, but he's
Yeah, I
increased
mean,
his. He's increased.
don't even
He's.
call it defense. I just say like he gets back.
He's getting back. He's showing some type of effort. So good for Luka. Obviously,
Yeah, good for you, bro.
Luka's gonna have to play
Good job.
big, and also he might be potential Finals MVP if they win. So,
I don't think
bad
Kyrie is
thing.
let I don't think I don't think well, the NBA might not let it happen. If it's close in performance, okay, the NBA ain't gonna let it happen. But if
I mean,
Kyrie does like we think he's gonna do, he's gonna be fucking MVP. Period.
fair. And if Boston wins, obviously it'll be either Tatum or
Jalen
Brown.
Tatum. Yeah, I mean, Jason Tatum. Jalen Tatum.
And a lot of pressure is going on Tatum for this finals. So, there I think that's another story for this finals is
Yeah, I mean, tainted. His legacy is just going to be in question from then on out. Like, that's what he's going to be known as. He's going to be, like, the better version of Carmelo Anthony if they lose his finals. You know? He's going to be like Carmelo. Like, yeah, like, you were close, but no cigar. You know? Like, Carmelo would be a step above Vince Carter.
I think Tatum is going to win a championship at some point. He's still extremely young. Maybe. He's, like, 25.
Depends on what the West does next year. Depends on how free agency works out this summer. Depending on who signs with who is going to deter, because the West is still superior.
I mean, yeah, that's not a question, but I think we got used to Tatum being in the finals so much because he's been in there every year of his career that we're putting on.
But I think that gives the credit to,
he's only 25, and the fact he's already been to multiple Eastern Conference Finals and Finals is incredible at this age. So he's going to get him.
Yeah,
he's
but that nigga has help. Hold on. You acting like Jalen Brown is not his Scottie Pippen.
I didn't say that.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I didn't say that.
He's maybe like a step below him.
Of course, but he's I'm saying when people be like, he's never going to win a championship, I'm like, whoa, relax. That's nonsense. He's going to win one.
This is the equivalent of like when Oklahoma had KD and James Harden on the same fucking team. I don't like counting Westbrook because you already, everybody on this, if you have followed this podcast at all, everybody knows I despise Russell Westbrook as a basketball player. I cannot stand the way he approaches the game. I think people have completely overrated his impact on the game, but that's neither here nor there. I'm not going to give credit to that. James Harden is much more, he's a much better basketball player. So I would like this to KD and James Harden, not like Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen.
You're comparing the Boston situation.
Tatum and Jaylen Brown are more like KD and Harden than they are Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. That's what I'm saying. Like, if Jaylen Brown leaves,
calling Tatum and Brown,
he's going to get a max contract somewhere.
Wait, who said that? Who said Tatum and Brown are comparable to Pippen and Jordan? Who said that?
I'm saying if that's what you were going to lean more towards. Like, I'm giving you the spectrum. You know what I'm saying?
I was not comparing them to anybody. I'm putting them on their own little situation because their story is totally different from those two groups. Because they're already winning a lot of games together. They've already been through the fire. They just haven't came on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. And I think you just keep them together. I don't think you should break them apart. I think they're just going through pains. Just that the pains are just high pressure growing pains at big games. They're getting there. They just can't get over this hump. And it takes time, and some of that is through age, and some of that is through maturity, I think. But, you know, I don't want to say to the extent of people saying, like, he's never going to win a championship or this, that. I'm not saying that. These are two prolific players. And who knows? What we're seeing now might be a transition where Brown is the number one option right now. You don't know. I think they're still learning each other. I think they're still learning about their own games also.
I mean, I feel like they should have already known each other's games. They've been playing together for fucking 5 years. Like,
I'm saying individually, their own games. Like, Brown is trying to... I think Brown is starting to come into his own right now as far as being that guy of closing out games. Like, I think what we saw in the last series of how to close out Indiana, I think that was Brown's decision-making and he took it on upon himself to close out game four?
But the way people portray it is that Jason Tatum is like 1A, you know what I'm saying? He's the Kobe. He's the Kobe. People compare him to like a Kobe Bryant, like a Carmelo Anthony, but better. Like, he's that guy. You know, he's a franchise. People regard him as a superstar.
He's not a superstar?
He is not a superstar. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying he is a superstar.
I'm saying if he doesn't win in the if he doesn't win this finals, his superstardom status is going to be in question. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
That's what I was saying. That's the other storyline is what I was telling you.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Guys, you're saying the three storylines would be like Kyrie, obviously Porzingis, and then Jason Tatum's legacy.
Legacy and that whole dynamic between him and Brown. I think that will also be in question.
Yeah, because they talking, you know, there's rumors of them breaking this shit up. They don't want to, they don't know if they want to do another
year. I think that's the story. But moving along, because some of this, we're just going to have to see how this plays out. And hopefully our listeners will be tuning into the finals that starts tomorrow and our predictions and, you know, testing us about what we got wrong and what we got right. Speaking of Indiana, a big story coming out of basketball, which I think you probably have a lot to say. Obviously, the storyline is kind of getting on my nerves, but the Caitlin Clark treatment in the WNBA. I guess because recently the Chicago Sky and Indiana Fever had a very intense game. It was a very good game. I watched the game. Another player, Carter, I don't remember her first name, from Chicago Sky. It was a cheap shot. That knocked Caitlin on the floor. People consider
that. Oh, you know that Sam Cassell's daughter?
That makes a lot of fucking sense. That makes sense.
That's Sam Cassell's daughter.
That makes sense. But, you know, it was a cheap shot. It wasn't a cool move. At the same time, I didn't think much about it. It was just like, it was a cheap shot. That's all it was.
Yeah, and but first of all, Caitlin Clark is not a fucking victim. I don't know. This is the problem I have with today, like the basketball casual. They have way too much access, bro. They don't know. They haven't followed the sport enough to like have no, they don't have no context to anything. Caitlin Clark has been, her narrative has been known to be like kind of a prima donna type, like a scorer, but she's like a bit of a, like a JJ Redick type, like you're a fucking asshole. Like you get shots. You know what I'm saying?
When I look at Caitlin Clark and when I see her interviews and everything,
Have you seen the highlights though? Like when she be stepping on, did you see when she stepped on the girl at Ohio State after they won like in a conference? I think it was like the conference tournament again? Or some shit. When she stepped on the girl from Ohio State while she was like stepped on her leg while she was on the ground. I can't remember what school it was. She pushed some girl when she wasn't looking. Another chick.
I saw that.
Bruh, she be throwing out cheap shots all the time.
That's fair. She's I get that.
You know what I'm saying? She's not like America's sweetheart, like some Mary Lou Retton of college basketball. Like, she was a bit of an asshole. Like, she's cocky. Why you think motherfuckers was doing that shit in her face? Because she was doing it first. Well, everybody tries to purpose, like, her whole motive is, like, she's so competitive, and, like, when other people do it to them, like, they're dirty players, or, like, she's, like, they was calling Angel Reese ghetto because she wears a lace front, and she was doing, like, can't see me. But she did it because she was mocking Caitlin Clark.
Well, so I think
Caitlin
a lot
Clark
of
is not, like, she's not a victim. I circle that back around and say she ain't no victim.
A lot
she be
of
throwing
this
that shit, too. She be throwing shit out, too.
There are layers behind the conversation. Obviously, there's a lot of layers dealing with women, race, competition. And from there, I just think if you look at it on just competition level, just on a basketball level, there's nothing going wrong. Like there's nothing else extra going along with this. I think, obviously, media is portraying this and blowing this out all of proportion because it's a story. And
they're blowing it out of proportion because it's a white woman and she has the opportunity to be the face of the WNBA. And white America is very invested in pushing her narrative and propelling her to the forefront of the WNBA because they want a white woman that's prominent and stands for feminism. Like, they're going to push all these fucking agendas on her. So they want her to succeed so she can be like a beacon of hope in that arena. Like, let's not act like that's not what it is. And that's cool because everybody has their people. Like, we have Serena Williams. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has their person that they're so invested in, like, pushing to the forefront, like, to be the trailblazer. But I'm sorry, y'all. This ain't the one. She's good, though. She can play. I'm not saying she ain't. She's good. I'm not saying she's not good. She can play.
Listen, the WNBA
season. But in terms of, like, this woman is going to be, like, the new. Like, they get mad at Diana Taurasi for hating on Caitlin Clark. Like, Diana Taurasi isn't a four-time NCAA champion, dog. She won 3 years, bro. It wasn't like, you know what I'm saying? And she was the leading scorer on the team. She was that girl. Then she came to WNBA. She won Rookie of the Year, bro. It's not like she's just some fucking bum. She won 3 championships and came to the NBA and just faded into obscurity. No. She got Rookie of the Year. She won MVP, I think, 2 years. And she got 4 NBA rings. And she got a Finals MVP. It's not like she's like a bum. People are like, oh, she's hating. That's like, what? How can Steph Curry hate on Trae Young? You know what I'm saying? That's not hating. If Steph Curry says something about Trae Young's game, he's not hating. You know? And that's what I think about Diana Taurasi. She's not hating on Caitlin Clark because she's like, reality's going to hit fast. It did hit fast. Like, you're having a hard time right now, lady.
Of course.
Motherfuckers are not rolling over for you. Like, y'all expect these women, just because they women, they're not supposed to be, like, competitive? Like, well, how would motherfuckers feel if, like, you woke up one day and, like, you went to practice and there's some new motherfucker talking about, yeah, all your plays finna go to her. Or he finna be the new go-to guy. You're like, shit, he is. Like, we finna compete. Even people in the NBA, like, Jeff Teague says some bullshit, like, y'all not playing the role right, y'all supposed to let her cook. Like, what? Niggas didn't let LeBron cook. Niggas for sure didn't let Kobe cook at all. Kobe had to sit the bench.
She is getting some Lonzo Ball treatment, though. She's getting some
bullshit, I mean, red carpet treatment,
I mean, I would definitely say, of course, veteran players, especially, I mean, there's a lot of dynamics with this conversation. There's a lot. Even under layers with the WNBA and the attention. I mean,
She's a white woman. We get it. They want the white woman. She's like a plain Jane white woman from the middle of America.
So, from a basketball standpoint, WNBA has never seen this type of energy, excitement. I don't think it's only because of Caitlin Clark. I definitely think she is a big part of the reason. Angel Reese is a part of the reason.
She is, you know, but people don't want to acknowledge that, though.
I think the chick from the Sparks is a lot of reason. I think Brittany Griner coming back from Russia had a part in it to it. But, you know, I do think, I don't think Caitlin is trying to do anything on purpose of trying to defer any of the tension. Like, I don't think she's like, give me the tension. This is what I want. If you look at her when she's even going through the tunnel, she looks super awkward. She's wearing all these Prada clothes. She doesn't even look comfortable in Prada. Like, I would actually tell her stylist, just put her in a hoodie. She doesn't even look comfortable. So I think she's extremely competitive. I think she definitely has a chip on her shoulder. You know, I still would like to see her succeed. But I think she doesn't like, I don't think she's like, oh, I want all this. So you compared it to JJ Redick. I didn't get the JJ Redick thing. I think you're talking about more on the floor of how she like reacts and how she plays and her style of play.
Bro, did you just check the text message I just sent you?
Dirty or not? Yeah, whatever, man. We've all done some dirty shit on the court. That happens. It's just part of the not game. Like,
She does it all the time, though, bro. It's not like one play, like this one time. She's done it a lot.
So
she's a cocky little
Yeah.
She's one of those.
So, but I think bottom line is,
she's
I don't
the white
think
woman who knows that she's good. She's good.
On the tip of just WNBA getting this type of attention, you know, it's part of like, you know, I keep using this phrase, growing pains, as a organization or as a league. You know, they're going through their own transition of just stardom and stars in their league, big stars, notable stars, stars that are getting brands, stars that are going into the Met Gala. You know, they're selling out stadiums. So, I mean, I think some of these veterans, you know, I don't think they should be. I don't think it's hate or anything like that. I think it's something that this is an adjustment, and they are kind of playing an old guard on it. And I get why. And I think they have a reason to be defensive and make it seem like, okay, this, we've been here, we've been doing this, but don't get out of hand. Like, don't make it too much. Like, treat her like a rookie, give her the backpack, you know, hard foul, whatever, you know, just play the game. But just to be like, I mean, out of your way to do some extra shit. And also, if you're doing do some extra shit, you know you're going to get blasted on social media, positive or negative. I think it is a way to kind of like, you're going to use this platform to get your own branding off. So there's a lot of different reasons of why I'm like, let's just keep it basketball, keep it between the lines, and let's just hoop. Bottom line.
I think she gets a pass because she's good and she's white, and that's fine. I'm okay with it, but let's just call it what it is.
I'm not saying she's not getting it because she's a white shooter from Iowa. Like, no, that's definitely the case. But I think with the layers of conversation, there's so much even within the WNBA of how their treatment and how they were not getting this and they had to fight for everything they've got. I totally respect it. Like, they have been the leading organization for so many different causes that they should have been deserve charter flights or fair pay wages. And I think they're like, oh, when this shit gets here, we're getting that now. So I see their sentiment.
I mean, I think people are of the impression that she's gonna be the person that carries them over to equal pay. And it's like, yeah, if they lay down and just let her score 50 a game, sure. But like,
no one's gonna
let her. Like, yeah. Who, you know what I'm saying? Like, what girl, you know, they have their own accomplishments, their own achievements that have been overlooked, mainly because, like, you know, it's not as sexy and alluring to be like a four-time NCAA champion. Like, people don't think that's amazing. Like, I do, I guess. Or, like, anybody who's following basketball would see, like, how amazing that is, how dominant a lot of these women players are.
Well, a lot of
people don't see that because they don't dunk, you know? Which is, like, unfortunate. So I get there's an opportunity, but, like, come on, man. Let's not shit. That's shitting on everything these women have done to have the expectation that, oh, because the visibility is there, and like this girl who like scored a lot of points comes in, and everybody like is paying attention now. We should just let her just walk all over us and make us look like we just didn't accomplish shit. We just here, like we just part of her show. That's some bullshit. You shouldn't ask no goats to do that. No, nobody who's great, like the Breonna Stewarts, are like, you know, like Breonna Stewart is she's a goat, bro. She's amazing.
And in defense of Caitlin, I don't think she's asking for that. That was kind of the point I was trying to make.
No, I'm saying the audience is asking that.
I know. I know.
The viewers, like, that's the narrative that the media is trying to push. Like,
and also
the players
also
are jealous. It's like, what? That's
and also,
crazy.
What comes with this new attention? You got a lot of new fans, and what new fans don't understand this type of dynamic. So that's kind of like the
trans. I just think fans don't understand a comp. They don't
the
understand accomplishment
of this new
they
attention.
They don't get it.
It's because you have a lot of new fan base. You have a whole new market that are coming that, we'll just be honest, majority are coming for Caitlin Clark. So they're not understanding the dynamics of what the hell is going on, especially in a high level competition. So I think it's just something that, I guess, considering the conversation, we're going to let time tell, see how she performs. She's obviously leading rookies in scoring, leading rookies in assists, leading rookies in minutes. She seems like she's headed
into the leading rookies in turnovers.
In turnovers. You know, she's looking like she's going to be the clear runner for Rookie of the Year.
She's going to win Rookie of the Year. Nobody said she wasn't going to win.
Her team is not good. They won like, they're like 1-9, which was expected. So, you know, Angel Reese is in the building. She's playing well. She's leading rebounding and averaging what, 4 offensive boards a game or something like that. Her team has a 500 winning record. So, you know, the rookies are stacked though, but like overall, like that's a good rookie class. Like this rookie class seems like it's going to be a legendary rookie cap class, like up there with kind of the, well, I'm not going to say anything comparable to the NBA, but it's just going to look, seem like a very legendary WNBA class.
It ain't comparable yet. Come on. She's leading rookie. Like Caitlin Clark is leading rookie. She's averaging 15.6. So she's averaging 16. Like that's not comparable. You know, like this is good for a woman's rookie.
They're not
like, average. Guys rookie, you need to be averaging 25.
I know, but that's normal. That's like really good for a rookie in any league, though. Come on, man. They're not like Asia Wilson is averaging like
rookie of the year. That's not the leading year numbers in the NBA.
Averaging like 25 points a game. They're not averaging like big numbers in there. So
yeah, I think it is too. Hold on.
It's a different style of basketball.
What I mean, they gotta play basketball a little different. They're women, like the
I mean, 15
the capability points. Is not as is, it ain't the same.
15 points
okay,
for
so, Arike Ogunbowale
from Dallas Wings.
I think it's Ogunbowale.
Yeah,
she's averaging 27, and then Aja Wilson is averaging 26.
26. So, you know, for a rookie, 15, that's decent.
15's okay. I mean, 15 is in 18th place.
15 is decent.
But you know who's averaging more? Diana Taurasi.
I did it.
You know who's averaging more points? Diana Taurasi.
I mean, Diana Taurasi, she's a GOAT. She's a legendary. She's
40. Hey, I got a great story. Oh, this is great. I forgot about this. I don't know if I ever told you this.
Diana Taurasi made a move on you?
Diana Taurasi shot a shot at me?
I was about to say, Diana Taurasi made a move on you?
Diana Taurasi shot a shot at me.
Oh, share.
All right. I was working for Jordan Brand in 2011. Working for Jordan Brand, we used to travel around America and do like all these activations for like, that was when Dwayne Wade, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, all of them was signed to Jordan. So we was doing all these activations. So we went to the World Basketball Festival in D.C. And it was all the country's teams was there. So like Brazil had a 17 and under squad. That's when I first saw Ben Simmons play. That's when I saw Andrew Wiggins play for the first time. Like, all the countries, Nigeria, I think, I don't know if...
This is in Portland, right?
What's his name? Huh?
This is in Portland, right?
No, this was in D.C.
Oh, okay.
But it was, like, all the young stars, and then it was all the way up to, like, the national teams, right? So, like, everybody was there. Like, Team Brazil, all the Nike teams, China, Team China was there, Team Brazil was there, USA was there, there's a couple other ones. I think France was there. Like all the Nike teams, it was a Nike event or whatever. So the national teams end up playing friendlies. So America played Brazil. So the women played first and then the men played. I was coming with the Jordan Brand team. I don't know if anybody heard Reggie Saunders. He's like one of Michael Jordan's best friends. He was my boss. So he got us all fucking box seats to like this friendly game. It was crazy. So we go into the friendly game as the men play. So the women already played. We walk into the boxes. We got to cross paths with like these side doors. It looked like just back doors, whatever. We're walking through this hallway. and his door opens, and a women's USA team crosses paths with us. So they crossing through our line to go wherever they're going. They probably leaving or whatever. So the whole USA team comes out. So, like, I don't know who really was playing at the time, but I don't know. Diana Taurasi was one of them. Oh, Maya Moore, Diana Taurasi, fucking Katie Smith, and fucking Lisa Leslie, I think, was still playing at the time. Like them. Anyway, they crossed paths with us, right? I'm wearing, remember that Paris hat I had, that Marc Jacobs Paris hat? The wool one? You remember that? It was fire. All right, anyway, I was wearing this Marc Jacobs hat. It was like a wool baseball cap. It was fire. And they're crossing through our line, and Diana Taurasi, like, bumps into me a little bit. Like, it looks like we're about to bump into each other. So I stop, and she keeps walking. She grabbed me by the face and, like, put her hand on my hat and was like, ooh, Paris. She was like, ooh, I love Paris. And I...
Were y'all eye to eye?
Never
looking down on you.
Huh?
Were y'all eye to eye, or was she looking down?
She's about an inch and a half taller. I'm 5'11". She's probably like 6 foot, 6 foot and a half.
She looking down on you.
So she's like a little bit. We look at each other in the eyes.
All right.
So don't try to play me like it's some like weird kink shit.
I was just more trying to get a visual so people can like.
No, we looking at each other in the eyes, and she is a little bit. She's about an inch and a half, 2 inches taller than me. But we look at each other's eyes. She goes, "Ooh, I love Paris. I've never, like, you know how, like, when girls say, like, oh, he's charming. Like, I've never experienced that with a woman. That's the only time I've ever experienced that with a woman.
What? She charming?
And she, like, that shit caught me so off guard. Usually I'm, like, very, like, witty. You know that. Everybody knows this about
me. You mean like you were charming? Like, she charmed you.
She charmed me. Like, she swooned me. I was like a little bitch for a second. And I had to catch myself. Because I, like, she got me on my pimping for like a very small second. And that really never happened to me. And she's not even, I wouldn't say, like, she's hot, you know?
Nah,
but it was just something about her swag just, like, caught me off guard. It was like, she was...
Yeah, she's
she committed to it so much it like caught me off guard.
And like you said,
she was like a Hall of Famer.
Diana Taurasi.
And that made me stutter. So she grabbed my face and looked at me and said, "Ooh, I love Paris." And I stuttered for a second. I said, we should go, bitch. We should go. We should go to Paris, bitch, together. And when she had already walked off, and I was like, fuck. And then my other coworker who worked with me from New York, his name is Cash. God is my witness. If he's listening right now, God strike me dead, Cash, damn, I'm lying, I'm capping. He goes, son, do you realize what's happened to you? I was like, I know. Michael Jordan, the girl, female Michael Jordan, she just shot her shot.
You should have been like, hey.
I was like, I know. He's like, nah, it's quiet. Just keep
going. Yeah. You should have.
I'm still talking.
Nah,
it's over, nigga. That was your moment.
You should have yelled for her. Tell her, hey, I'm still talking to you.
Nah. She is the same. She's taller than me, like an inch. You know what I'm saying? And she ain't no dainty chick.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if y'all got in a scuffle, like, you
Question.
Know, your shirt would be stretched out after you won. You would win. But your shirt would be fucked up. Like, you'd have some scratches.
You think you'll beat Diana Taurasi 1-on-1?
In a 1-on-1 game right now? No. She's probably better than me. She's good.
For 3 months, every day.
Okay, it's over then. Then it's over. That's different.
But you say you're beating Diana Taurasi.
Like, all right, I'm going to play you in 90 days, and I got to start working out today. Yeah. I'm winning. Because I'm about to get super in shape, because I'm not losing.
Okay, to 11. Up to 11, how much you winning by?
Probably 11-6. She's probably going to score a little bit. Because I'm going to be lifting, bro. I'm going to get back in shape. Because I already know I got to get in basketball shape.
You just said Diana Taurasi is going to lose 11-6.
For sure. Absolutely. Diana Taurasi is good. I'm not saying she's not good. But I'm playing against...
That's good.
I played against WNBA players before. Like, they're good. Allie Quigley went to DePaul with us. She was an all-star. She was good, but, like, She wasn't fucking with us. You remember Allie? She
was also. Allie, but Allie ain't fucking with Diana.
She was good, right? She was good, right?
Yeah, but, she was but, good. Allie ain't fucking, but Allie ain't fucking with Diana Taurasi either.
Right, but she ain't so much better than Diana Taurasi that, like, I wouldn't beat her.
I don't know, man.
You tripping, dog. You tripping.
I think you would win, but it's going to be closer than 11-6.
Nah, I would lose. I would lose 11 to. I'd probably lose 11-8. Because I'm going to figure out how to get by this woman. She's definitely not quicker than me. For sure. Even if I got to do a hezzy, like, hezzy cross, like, I just got to make sure I make everything. Because if I don't, I got to play hard ass defense. But if I was in shape.
Because I think she's making.
If I'm open at all, I'm hitting that shit. Well, if I got to play every day, like, even if
I think she is going to make majority of her shots.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm not going to make the majority of my shots. And the first six of them, first six shots that I got, they got to be drives, nigga. Because I got to score my points.
Well, yeah, you got to.
Yeah, I haven't shot a jumper in fucking a year.
That's absurd. You got to go straight into her fucking.
Yeah, so I'm driving. First six baskets, bitch, you're going to have to stop me. You just going to have to cheat off. And then I'm going to try to shoot some eight footers. That's my approach. Today, if we got to play today, I'm driving hard as shit. Six times at least.
All right.
Not stopping me because I know she ain't. She's not faster than me.
Let's get some fashion.
Or quicker than me. Diana Taurasi? No. Yeah, they all know.
Yeah. Well, you sang her praises so
I'm
much.
I'm getting to the basket six times.
You're saying her praises so much during the show. Now you kind of switched off and now you're like, but I bust her ass.
No, it's because it's me. It's because I've actually played basketball seriously in my life. And I've played against women who played in the WNBA and I'm way better than them.
It's going to be confusing.
I'm still young enough to be better than them.
Everyone's going to be tripping.
Call it what you want. I'm not. Let's go to fashion.
I say you win, but 11-6 is disrespectful.
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But it's not.
If any dude who's ever played
basketball in college, if he ever played in the WNBA, he'd be top two all time.
In a three game series.
Number one.
In a three game series, you sweeping Diana Taurasi?
She probably win one game because I'm telling you, I'm out of shape.
All right. I'm saying, were you in shape?
Maybe one. She might win one if I shoot bad. Like, if I take it, if I like do some bailout shit, start just shooting. If I just take one game and just shoot all jumpers.
Well, no, but you're talking hypotheticals now. I'm just saying, in a series, how many she winning? You gave her one. Okay.
Maybe one. 2-1. Maybe all right. One.
All right. That's fair. That is fair.
Okay. And it's not taken away from anybody who's ever played in the WNBA because they're good. They're good. I'm not saying they're not good. I'm just saying I'm better than you. As a dude who's played organized basketball, like, for real, like, I know how many reps you put in. I get it. If I put reps in like that for 3 months, oh, I'm going to beat you.
He's saying he's winning. You had any... well, there's not, like... Honestly, there's not a lot going on in the fashion world. Fashion Week is in 2 weeks. Men's Week starts with Pitiomo. In about 2 weeks. So, you know, I was going to ask you had any favorite looks or favorite people during the playoff season?
Favorite people would be Tyrese Halliburton because he had such ridiculous looks that I was just entertained.
Honestly,
I kind of felt bad for him, but at the same time, I was like, this is what you get. Like, I love this for you.
You felt bad for him when he lost?
Did I see what he wore when he lost?
I said you felt bad for him when he lost with the looks, or
no, I just felt bad for the shit he'd be wearing in the tunnel.
You know, and it's some of the pieces itself are not bad. Like, I saw him with the Con Bigger Son jacket. No. And then
it's just how you put them together, bro.
How he puts it together is just so bad. And it's just kind of like,
looks like a dweeby.
Yeah, he is very dweeby. And the way he like carries himself in the stuff, it just, he carries it like he's trying too hard. Like, there's no effortlessness about it. Like, he's just, bro, like, you don't really want to wear this. You're just trying to do this for you're clickbaiting.
Yeah, you don't look comfortable. This doesn't look like you feel comfortable wearing this. This looks like somebody put you in this. It looks costumey.
It just didn't feel authentic. Like, I like a few of the pieces. I just didn't like it on him, and it just didn't feel authentic. So, yeah.
I agree.
The Halliburton was just a sad presentation on style. And it was working. He got a lot of clicks. He got a lot of attention in the tunnels because they were so, I don't want to say, I don't want to use that term. They were just so not him. Let's say that. They just weren't him. But.
No, they weren't.
You know, I think Jokic, he's always going to be up there with his suit game. He comes correct with his suit game. I respect that. I like Kyrie in his.
Yeah, but he's Eastern. He's Eastern European. He don't count.
Why? He in the league.
Yeah, but they got a whole different culture, like, so? Their style, like Germany. You know, like,
yeah, but
over there,
his style was very suited and booted. It was very like,
yeah, like real sartorial. Like, it's European. It's like sartorial.
Yeah, but that ain't where he from. That is not him from where he's from. That's not very sartorial.
Where's he from?
What, Serbia or Slovenia?
I think he's. Bro, that's Eastern Europe. That's Russia.
Slovenia.
Slovenia. Yeah, Slovenia.
That's Russia, bro.
Slovenia was Russia.
But I'm saying, like, that's the whole area. Like, that's what his swag looks like, though.
Yeah, he got a little. Well, it was still a nice approach. It stands out because no one does it here. So that's why you got to give it a tip of the hat. I give it a tip of the hat, you know?
And I like 7-1.
I like what Kyrie was doing with the suits. His suit game was on point. It looked like he was coming for business. Looked like he was saying he's going to a funeral because he's about to bury niggas. Now, when he be coming through with the Native American drum and doing all that extra stuff, it's just... You're doing a lot, but when he came just strictly business in the suit, the all black suit with the white shirt, I liked it. I liked it a lot. You know, Shea had a lot of moments with his butterscotch full fit. I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was very
much. What, when he looked like an Oscar?
Yeah, when he had the full butterscotch caramel.
Bro, that was stupid. I hated that outfit. It looked kinkish a little bit. Like, what are you into? Whoever put you in that is into some weird shit. That's what I thought.
I mean, I didn't thought it was that bad. I thought it was all right. I wasn't that bothered by it.
Kyrie is giving, like, Walt Frazier meets, like, Isaac Hayes.
I like it. It was very nostalgic. He came.
Like,
he came.
Satiny, but then there's also, like, some sheer going on. It's, like, half... Social justice warrior, half like Ron, midnight hour type shit.
Yeah, he did just sign a disc, sneaker did to his dad. A bit random, but hey, popping these shoes too.
He signed a sneaker deal to his dad.
Yeah.
He signed his dad to a sneaker deal? Is that what you said?
My bad. He signed his dad to a sneaker deal.
Why would he do that?
I don't know.
What would make him do that?
I don't know. I don't know how his dad's going to sell sneakers, but hey.
I guess who's buying Kyrie dad's shoe? What? I don't get it. Who's his market? Who the fuck is checking for Kyrie Irving's dad?
Somebody that is. I don't stupid. Know. I don't know.
Who?
I don't know.
Who?
The name, the shit just came out. I don't know, but it happened.
He Kyrie signed Irving's dad can walk. He could knock on my door right now. I wouldn't know who the fuck he was. I'd be like, I didn't ask for maintenance.
That would have been funny. Now, it would have been funny if he signed Uncle Drew to a sneaker deal, like his alter ego.
That would be funny.
That would have been funny.
But his dad is weird.
His dad is very random.
There's nothing wrong with just taking care of your dad behind the scenes, bro. You don't have to, you know, like not everything is a.
I love you, dad.
Signal. He does that a lot, too. He got to chill. Like, I know he calmed down a little bit, but relax, bro.
So, yeah, those were kind of like my favorite, I guess. My favorite style people. I don't know if it was like, I guess the biggest fit moments were Tyrese Halliburton and what Shea did. But over outside the butterscotch
that
fit.
That's tripping, dog. I don't know why you think he got off.
Who? Who got off?
Shea, with that caramel, like, when he looked like a, bro, he look like some like out of Two Girls, One Cup, dog. That shit look crazy. I'm sorry. That shit look crazy. I can't believe you went off of that. Like, I can't believe niggas was really going off of that, bro. He looked like a poopy dildo. He looked bad. He like a dildo that got... He looks like a dildo that shoved in somebody's butt and then they put sunglasses on. That's crazy, intense. Man. He's tripping.
That was intense.
I'm sorry, but that's what he looks like. That's terrible. And got the nerve to put the gloves on with it? Go to hell, bro.
Gloves was too much. The gloves was too much. He
go
went too far.
Go to hell, bro.
I think he should have left the gloves in the car, and I don't think it would have been such a big deal, but the gloves definitely was insinuating to some other lifestyle choices.
It looks bad, bro. It just looks embarrassing. He looks like a sex toy, like a a content sex toy.
A walking sex toy.
Looks bad, bro. A sex toy that went to go get some air. Like he's on break. Like he's on his lunch. With the sunglasses on, bro.
You do like the full version of the typical cigarette.
But I did like this Diddy look when he did the fur with the, it was like Diddy meets Allen Iverson when he did the fur with the fucking,
He could have left the toe at home too. The gloves and the toe.
The thing is too, is that he needs to get made to order custom shit because his arms are too fucking long. His arms are long as fuck, bro. Nothing ever fits this dude right because his arms are too fucking long.
That's probably why he was wearing the gloves because the shirt was too short.
Maybe. Like, all of his shit comes right down to his wrist. It's very rare he gets shit that's, like, over, like, covering over his thumb a little bit.
Yeah. No, I think that's...
Very rare.
I think that is part of it, though.
I do too. I've been looking at his shit. His arms are too fucking long.
Well, my man want to stay dripping about
his arms, bro. He need to get his shit made to order. That would be the first thing I did if I was a stylist. Like, we gonna have to tailor all your shit, bro.
Well, he's not gonna want to stop wearing, not wear Rick Owens and Bottega. So you know.
But that's what I'm saying. If you're famous like that, like Louis Vuitton, if you're famous enough. They will make shit off the runway made to order, like fit you in different dimensions. It's expensive, but it looks way better. What? Like, look at this Vanson, dog. This looks like it's my Vanson, and he's wearing it. Like, it's too fucking short.
Shay needs to holler at G to kind of whip up the deal for Louis Vuitton. That's what I say.
I ain't brokering nobody deal with my own. He good. He's fine. It's good enough.
Well,
it's good.
That's enough for today. This was fun. This is cool.
Okay, good. Where did the time go, guys?
Appreciate everyone listening today. Be back with some other stuff. And then what? This is probably gonna be last few episodes right now. We're gonna close out the season.
As it stands, maybe we got two more. Maybe
Possibly two more.
Yeah, so get it while the getting's good, y'all.
Yeah.
But we be back though. New and improved, making more improvements as we go along. It's gonna be the best podcast in the United States of America. Trust and believe.
Best in the universe. Best in the world.
All right. Eventually. Let's baby steps.
For sure. We're
gonna get there though.
For sure. All right, y'all. Peace.
Peace.